Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we have a special guest interview today ahead of the second leg of the UWCL semifinals. Before we get into everything, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter for all news and updates at Attacking Third. You can watch this video too at youtube.com/attackingthird. Be sure to hit subscribe so you never miss out on our exclusive interviews or whenever we go live. Today, we're joined by Canadian international and 2020 Olympic gold medalist defender for Paris Saint-Germain in Division One Feminine, Ashley Lawrence. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We are so hyped to have you on the show. I know for us, especially myself and Lisa, whenever we get a chance to talk to defenders or talk defense, we're always really hyped about it.
We love it.
We feel like defenders never get enough love. Lisa, especially, she was a defender for out in Marquette University. So we're like, we got to talk about defenders and with defenders whenever we get a chance. But we want to thank you so much for joining us ahead of the UWCL semifinal that's going to be taking place this Saturday at April 30th at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Fans in the U.S. can watch on DAZN's YouTube. Ashley, I got to ask, there's a longstanding rivalry between these two clubs. How have preparations been ahead of such a big game?
Yeah, they've been good. I think after the first game, at the beginning of the week, it's been pretty calm, chill, recovery. But yeah, as the days have gone by, the excitement is building. And we know the importance of this game. We know Lyon quite well. We've played them many times, and we know it's going to be a good game. And breaking the attendance record, amazing, at Parc des Princes. So it's going to be a crazy atmosphere, but yeah, we're going into it. We want to win. We know it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be a good game for sure.
Ashley, you mentioned it, breaking the attendance record in person, but also across the world. The semifinals leg one saw over 3.43 million views and streams across DAZN and DAZN's UWCL YouTube channel for SF1. How does a global audience like this impact players and impact the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. Hearing those numbers, but I'm not even surprised. I think that we've been pushing for this, the importance of visibility for these games and DAZN being able to make that happen. Just being a player, I know how exciting these games are in the Champions League campaign. And I've just been hoping that people were able to witness and just see these top performers, these top athletes. And just hearing those numbers, it's amazing. And I just hope it continues to grow. It gives me chills when I think about it. But at the same time, I know we can draw these crowds. We can draw the interest, like the numbers that you mentioned. And I'm just so happy to be on this journey, be a player that's kind of in the midst of all of this growth. And I hope that it continues, and I'm going to continue to play my role, whether it's on the field or off, to continue to keep pushing that forward.
Actually, on the field as a fullback, you know, you've had responsibilities on both a defensive side of the ball and getting involved in attacks. How would you maybe evaluate the overall performance of the team over the course of this semifinal leg? And are there opportunities for PSG to improve in this second leg as you all sort of maybe kind of embrace the challenge of kind of being behind a little bit on aggregate right now?
Yeah, I think that at this level, it really is a matter of like, it's just like minor details. I think between the two teams, we both want it. We're both motivated. We both have top players and we know that is that difference. I think for us, it's really important to, it's the balance between taking those risks to go forward, but also like limiting mistakes. I know we don't want to go into the game with a mindset of being afraid or taking our foot off the pedal. We want to go in full force. But we know that it's like we kind of saw on that first leg, it's like one mistake and you get scored on. You know, we're playing against top players and we can't afford to make those types of mistakes. I know it can happen. But one thing that really stood out to me throughout the game, even after, I think was our mindset. Even if whoever it is made a mistake on the field, we were right back into it. We were there, we encouraged each other, we motivated each other. And I think that's what kept us into the game because it could have easily been a 4-1, but it ended 3-2. So, you know, we're still in it. Again, yeah, we have some work to do. But I do have confidence in my team. We're a young team with experience. And so we have some talented players. And I think it's about going in, playing at home, using that crowd to our advantage. And we want to really start off the game with a bang and then, you know, just take it minute by minute and get the victory.
So I want to ask maybe a follow-up on that with having the news coming out with the big crowd that's going to be in place and the excitement and energy that kind of brings with so many fans in the stand kind of setting the environment. I know the players sort of look to those types of things as added motivation, right? As sort of elevated hype for them to kind of carry with them into the match. For yourself as a teammate, when you're looking across your team, a lot of that also happens when you're both kind of uplifting each other as well. Are there teammates that you're looking at and you're saying, hey, buddy, I want you to have a massive game for us in this second leg semifinal? Who would that be and why?
Yeah, there are definitely a few. I mean, I automatically thought of Mary Antoinette Katoto. Yeah. She's our number 9. She's been performing just like a monster these past couple games. Yep. Like her ratio, just scoring, goal scoring machine, and still so young, but she's a player that I look up to, that the team looks up to, and definitely a player that I'd be looking at like, come on, like we need you. So you better go out there and score. No, but she knows like her role, and she's really just grown so much. Like being by her side in this club, she's put in the work and you see that it's paying off. And she's just owning her moment. So she would definitely be one of the players. And then another player would be Paulina Dudek, our center back. She's just like a beast out there, puts her body on the line, is a leader for our team. And I know that when she sets the tone, it sets the tone for everyone. So, you know, sometimes like I'll just a little shout at her, she'll shout back, but you know, just getting each other going. And I think that's exactly what it is from back to front, having those players dialed in. I can name a few others, but those are players that I've played with the last couple of years. And I think those are some key elements for us for sure.
Yeah, you've got to bookend it. The striker, the center back, yep. Make sure they're keyed in and the rest will almost just fall into place. It's not that simple. We know that. Ashley, switching a little bit from the club game to the international game, Team Canada, Olympic gold team, you were on that team. Recently in April, the squad had 2 matches against Nigeria. How would you, one of those a win and one of those a draw, how would you describe the team's growth since the Tokyo Summer Olympics to now?
Yeah, I would say that, well, one, our confidence for sure. I feel like we've just been able to just like cultivate like this environment where it's like, we're no longer second guessing. Like we're going into games with like the belief and just the expectation that we should be winning. We should be performing against these top countries. I wouldn't say that the goal like solidified that, but it was kind of like a long time coming, like the journey that we've been on, like the program, being just back-to-back bronze medalists and then now gold. It's a testament to like the work of our coaching staff, the players. We've really all just like bought into this idea. I feel like we've often been considered the underdogs, and I mean, that definitely drives us. It's motivation. But I would say that, you know, now we're in the conversation and being one of the top countries, but you know, we still remain humble, hardworking. And we know that, you know, this gold medal was an example of like blood, sweat, and tears, I would say, but that we have other goals and objectives going forward with the summer qualification for the World Cup and for the Olympics. And then going into the World Cup. So I just think that a big thing would be a lot of these players, like younger players kind of coming through, stepping up as leaders, like Kadisha Buchanan, she's been a leader, but you know, like really it's becoming her team, myself, Jesse Fleming, players that I've grown up with, and just seeing how they've just been able to come into their own. It's really cool. And testament to the national team that have just boosted them and allowed them the freedom to flourish on the field.
I'd love to chat a little bit about Yes She Canada in terms of this foundation that you started. How did this foundation get its start? It says that it's an organization that provides mentorship through sport that will grant girls a chance to develop and excel through women's soccer and create initiatives dedicated to empowering and preparing them for the future. So maybe for our listeners who are unaware of the fact that you have this great foundation, how did it sort of get its beginnings?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I was thinking of a way to just kind of create a platform for just that future generation. I've always been motivated as a player, even at the beginning of my career. I wanted to be a professional athlete. I wanted to play for Canada, but I always wanted to create an environment that was better than after I left it. I've always thought of how I could help, whether it was the national team or even here in PSG, how could I make it easier for the next generation? The things that I've been through, they should have it better. And so, yeah, I'm always reflecting and brainstorming on that. And so I was thinking of kind of different names, and it's like motivation, like, yes, she can. Yes, she can.
Love it.
It wasn't that quick. It took a bit more time, but that's kind of how it was created. But exactly what you said, just like the overriding theme of motivation and the importance of self-esteem. And sport has really taught me so much as a player in person. It's helped me with my self-confidence. In challenging times, managing my emotions, just so many things that I've learned throughout my career thus far. And I just think that it can be such a tool for everyone, but especially young people to use to learn so much about themselves. And so, yeah, I created Yes She Canada. I have an event every year and I provide soccer football drills for young people. And there's also an opportunity to ask questions. There's like photo ops and autographs, and it really is just about connecting with professional athletes and seeing examples for young girls, seeing examples that it is possible, seeing themselves in so many different ways, and for them just to believe and to believe in themselves, whether no matter what they strive to become, it could be a professional athlete. But yeah, I hope to continue to have these events and other things so that they can have these environments to have those connections and just to dream.
It's so powerful to hear you speak about this and how the goal is to inspire and empower these young women through sport. And you are doing that as a mentor to them in so many different facets of your life as a footballer and starting this organization. But as a young girl, who was your mentor that you looked up to?
So before being on the national team, I really looked up to Christine St. Clair, just being a Canadian and everything that she's done for the national team and breaking records, top goal scorer. But even before then, she was really an example, just like a great human being. And I think that that's one of the biggest things with the national team. We talk a lot about our performances, of course, and leaving it all on the field. But it's being a good person first. And I think that's what makes the biggest difference. But yeah, so she's just a leader, just a natural born leader, not just as a player in her performances, but as an individual. And yeah, I looked up to her and remember first being called onto the national team, being so afraid to even look at her. But welcomed me with warm arms. So that made it easier. But again, even till today, still a high performer and a true example for me.
Yeah, she's a great mentor to pick. She's my mentor too, still to this day. looking again at Yes She Canada, what are some goals you have for Yes She Canada? And tell fans, any listeners of this right now, how they can get involved, how they can be part of the initiative and help you.
Yeah. So for now, we have one event every winter time. So in December. And typically, again, it's an event where young girls are able to come out and just do different soccer drills, play. It's just a moment of enjoyment. But then there's also the charitable aspect where people are able to donate. And so every year we partner with a charitable organization, the Boys and Girls Club, for example. And so all the donations go towards the Boys and Girls Club, for example, of that year. So there's kind of the two factors. And so my hope is to continue to build and to have another event in the summertime. But time is definitely limited. We don't have that much time. So I haven't really been able to establish that. But I want to continue to grow it and maybe have multiple events throughout Canada, but even throughout other parts. Now that I'm comfortable in France, maybe in France. But yeah, just having more and more events so that we can really impact the more young girls possible.
I loved hearing you talk about this foundation, and I love that you were inspired to go ahead and kick off something like this, just because of even knowing, like, when you were younger, everyone needs that. It's a very impressionable age when you're sort of growing up and looking for mentors or role models. And I love the Yes She Canada play on words. In my family, we've joked about it too. Like, are you a Mexican? Are you a Mexican? Like, I love the play on it. As soon as I saw Yes She Canada, I was like, that makes total sense. Like, of course it is. But you heard it here, folks. If you're looking for ways to get involved with Yes She Canada, of course, the most direct way is to please donate if you can. And of course, keep an eye on all of the great events and initiatives that they're going to be rolling out in the future. But before we close out, Ashley, I'd love to chat with you a little bit more about this. You touched on it briefly, but the CONCACAF W Championship will be kicking off this summer. It's eight national teams going to be competing for four spots at the 2023 World Cup and even a place in the 2024 Olympics also on the line. And this year, the format around it was a little bit expanded. There was a qualifying round that took place ahead of the championship, which was really nice to see for the women's side of the game on the CONCACAF region. But the draw took place, and Canada is going to be grouped in Group B alongside Costa Rica and Panama, along with Trinidad and Tobago. So when we're looking at this, did you get a chance to, if not watch the draw, but sort of see the results? And what are some of your early impressions of Canada being in Group B alongside these other national teams?
Yeah, well, it is, first of all, it's exciting to see the setup, how it's different, more countries, but also even prior allowing other countries to play and to participate and just to make the competition that much more competitive. So that's a really amazing bonus. And just after learning about the group, I did see the draw, and it's not going to be easy, but it's exciting. I know for us, we're going into this qualifying tournament very seriously. You know, Costa Rica is a good side. I played with Shirley Cruz at PSG, the captain of Costa Rica, a very good player. And I know they have there's another player as well they have. Who plays in NWSL.
I think you're talking about referring to Rocky Rodriguez.
Yeah, Rocky Rodriguez, also very good player. Panama, you know, we have experience playing against Panama and teams like that, and it's scrappy, it's physical, it's not going to be easy. And Trinidad and Tobago, just very physical, fast paced team. And so three, I would say, fairly different teams for us. We're going into it. We want to win our group, ultimately want to win the CONCACAF, because it's different now. It's not just the spot in the World Cup; it is also a spot in the Olympics. It's not enough just to make it to the final or to the semifinal. It is very different. It's going to be exciting playing in Mexico. We play two games a couple months back in Mexico to kind of get adapted to the acclimation. And it's not easy. There's going to be a lot of factors, but exciting none to say the less.
Love that. We're looking forward to Canada going participating in the qualifiers this summer. Folks can watch the qualifiers and stateside on Paramount Plus. So we wanted to definitely get your perspectives very early on ahead of the competition in July. But we also want to thank you so much for joining us on Attacking Third and spending some time with us today. So thank you, Ashley, and best of luck in the UWCL semifinals and for the rest of the season. We also want to thank our listeners for joining us. Thank you so much for following along. Follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third for so much more. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. We're also available as video. Subscribe at youtube.com/attackingthird. And we'll be back this week with so much more. For Sandra Haddad, Lisa Roman, and Ashley Lawrence, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.